So this week we are reading Parshat Pekudei. This is the off Shabbat, by the way, in the Arba Parshiot, based on the mnemonic of Zatu Bo Dad Ubiyu. This is the Bo, where if the Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Bet, then Vav is skipped. This is Shabbat is Vav Adar, and so no special Shabbatot, no special reading, but we had a chance to make a siyum on Sefer Shmot. So when you think Mishkan, because the whole end of Sefer Shmot, second half of Shmot, is all about the Mishkan, when you think Mishkan, what do you think of? Meaning, what's its purpose? Why does Hashem command us to build a Mishkan? What comes to mind?
To connect with Him.
As a way of connecting with Him, why can't we connect with Him directly? All right, so it's to appease what people are used to, having a vehicle, or to create a distance. Okay, to connect Him. Anything else?
Oh, just to nuance that, you can connect personally, but there's communal and there's individual. They're different.
Or say, a communal way of connecting. Okay, anything else besides connecting to God? Think about what the word Mishkan means.
Well, you're giving Him a home.
Meaning you're creating a residence for God
in
the world. Okay, good. And the truth is that there's a whole lot of things. If you ask most people, I think their first response would be a place where it's okay to bring korbanot, which is not at all clear that that's what the purpose of the Mishkan is. If people had more nuance, they would say a place where Gilui Hashchinah can continue, and therefore more mitzvot can be given. That's the famous Ramban. But I'd like to the Ramban in his introduction to Parshat Truma, I'd like to highlight what may be a whole different approach to understanding the significance of the Mishkan. And I'm going to start it off with a Midrash. The Midrash shows up here. It's a Midrash Tanchuma. Actually, it's a Tanchuma. It also shows the Bamidbar Rabbah. Bamidbar Rabbah is a very late Midrash in Parshat Naso. And this is a Midrash that I usually invoke Hanukkah time in a different context. It starts with the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Bati Legani Achoti Kala, the beginning of Perek Hei in Shir HaShirim. All right. Lama Devar Dumeh, Lamelach Shamar Livnei HaMedina, Shivnu Palter, Uvvanu Oto, Vayu Bnei HaMedina, Omdim Al Petach Palter, Umitzakim Vyomrim, Yikereso Melach Palter. So the king commanded his servants to build him a palace, and they built it, and then they say, come on, let the king come into his palace. Masa nichnas b'fishpesh, he came into one doorway. Shalach le'makruz, al titzaku shekvar bati l'palter. Don't yell at me, I've already come in. All he did is he came into one door. Kach shamar mishkan Yisrael omrim, yavod dodi legano. Again, a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Let my beloved come into his garden. And now, the Midrash is something wild. L'fish ha'malecha tamishkan nigmara v'chafei b'kislev. Now, let's go back a little bit. According to the Midrashic chronology of the events at Har Sinai, the common Midrashic, mainstream Midrashic chronology, when did Moshe come down with the second set of luchot, whatever was on them, and the commands to build the Mishkan?
Yed Tishrei.
Right, the day of or the day after Yom Kippur. And then they immediately started collecting, and they started building, etc. So it's certainly reasonable to think that with everybody involved, and that's pretty much all they had to do in the project, that they would be done within a couple of months. And according to the Midrash, it was done on Chafei B'Kislev. Now, why does the Midrash use Chafei B'Kislev? Because the Midrash is trying in classic rabbinic style to predate a later event in Jewish history to the period of the Midbar, as they do with Tisha B'Av, and as they do with Shivat Asar B'Tammuz. They also do it with Chanukah. And that Chanukah really is celebrating, the Chanukah we celebrate in Kislev, is celebrating the original readiness of the Mishkan that he put up. It was ready. The Amad HaMishkan Mikupal Ad Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It stayed there waiting, kind of folded up in its package. Do not open until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then they set it up. All right, so the Mashal. Now takes us to the first source, which is the beginning of the end of Parshat Pekudei, Perek Mem. All Right, so Hashem says on the first month, on the first day of the month, set up the Mishkan Ol Moed. And then Hashem describes. We're going to look at this description briefly. We're going to come back to it at the end of the shiur. V'samtasham et Aron ha'idut, v'sakotal ha'aron et ha'parochet. Notice that word. You're going to place the Aron, and you're going to cover with a protection over the Aron at the parochet. It's not exactly the case. Parochet is not over the Aron, it's next to the Aron. Set up the shulchan with its lechem. Set up the menorah with its lights. Then you set up the mizbach haktoret, and then you put up the masach again. The same word lasuch to protect to the door of the mishkan, and then on the outside you put the mizbach haola, etc. And it goes on. We're going to look at it more in detail later on. Now. Why Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and why the emphasis be Yom HaChodesh HaRishon B'Chav HaChodesh? The way the wording should be evocative for us. What does that remind you of? Yom HaChodesh HaRishon B'Chav HaChodesh. What do those words remind you of? So keep it in mind. If it comes out to you, just blurt it out. But in the meantime, you find the Midrash Tanchuma, as I was mentioning earlier, the Midrash Tanchuma again highlights. Not the waiting, because the Midrash, Min Barabbas, said it was ready on Chafei B'Kislev, and it waited till now, but why it was Dafka now? Meaning, again, assuming that it didn't take all that time to build the Mishkan. If you take a look here, you'll see Be'achad Ba'adar, Tanding Merad Melechad HaMishkan, right? And another opinion that it only took 3 months to do it, Tishrei Macheshvan and Kislev, that is closer to the opinion that was the end of Kislev. Different opinions that all indicate the Mishkan was ready well earlier. So why wait to set it up? So here in the Tanchuma, Elamim Bnei Shachashav HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'arev, Simchat HaMishkan B'Simchat HaYom Shenolad Bo Yitzchak Avinu. So there's a Midrashic tradition, Yitzchak was born on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And so therefore, Hashem wanted to combine the two. This is an interesting twist, because usually, Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. We don't mix one simcha with the other. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka wants to have the Mishkan set up on Yitzchak Avinu's birthday, and then the special connection with Yitzchak and with Avimelech and Sarah and that whole story. All right. But there's something else that's going on with Yom HaChodesh HaRishon. Take a look in, of course, in Source 6, which should have come to mind right away. What's the very first mitzvah that we're given as a people? Source 6. First mitzvah we're given as a people is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei HaShana. There's an emphasis on Rosh and Rishon. And then you look back at this command, you say, wait, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu here commanding that the Mishkan be set up in a way that somehow connects with the whole dramatic story of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Now you think about it, the first answer that you gave, Jason, you said a way to communicate with God. Like Zevi said, a place for God to reside. Like other people will say, a place to bring korbanot. But maybe there's a whole other story going on here. Maybe there's a connection with Yitziat Mitzrayim that's going on, and therefore Hashem said, I want it to be put up at the anniversary of the beginning of the process of Yitziat Mitzrayim, because the beginning of that process is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. And therefore Hashem uses the same words. Let's take a look at it. When Moshe Rabbeinu is on top of Har Sinai for the first time, not on top, but at Har Sinai for the first time that we know of, which is when he's all alone and he's shepherding and he sees the bush. Hashem appears to him in the bush, famous story, we've dealt with it in the past in detail, and every step of the way Moshe says no. Hashem says go, Moshe says no. And at the second point where Moshe says no, his no is, who am I and who are they? So Hashem's answer to who am I is, Vayomer ki yeimach, source 3, I'll be with you. V'zelecha od kenochi shlachticha, meaning, you're concerned that the people won't believe that I sent you. You came on your own. Here's the sign that I really sent you. Botziacha ta'ami Mitzrayim, ta'avduna ta'luhim ala harazeh. When you take them out of Mitzrayim, you're going to worship God on this mountain. What's that referring to? So almost everybody says that's referring to one or another component of Gilui Har Sinai, of Matan Torah, which is Hashem is going to He's going to reveal himself to the people. They're going to say Naaseh v'Nishma, etc. All beautiful. The problem is that's not the word Ta'avdun. The word Ta'avdun is a word of worship. The events at Har Sinai are not a worship event. So what some can point to is that if you recall, as part of the scenario of Har Sinai, which is either chronologically presented, Ramban, or not chronologically represented, everybody else, there is a point at which Moshe Rabbeinu builds a Mizbeach and brings Korbanot and puts the Dam on the people and the Dam on the Mizbeach and makes a brit with them. But that is presented not nearly as much as Avodah as it is Kritat Brit, which is why there is a suggestion made, I believe in the Rishonim, that the Havdunat Elohim al Harazeh refers to the Mishkan, because the Mishkan was originally erected in Har Sinai. That's where they built it. Which means that the culmination of the event of Yetziat Mitzrayim is the Mishkan. Now, we could take the Ramban's approach in his introduction to Sefer Shmot, which is a beautiful one, that says the reason that the Mishkan is the culmination of Yetziat Mitzrayim is because Yetziat Mitzrayim is an event of Ge'ulah. And what Ge'ulah means at the heart of the word is to restore something or someone to their previously noble position, like Geulat Avadim and Geulat Karkaot, to restore them to the rightful position and the rightful owner. So for Am Yisrael to be out of Israel, unnatural. For Am Yisrael to be Avadim, unnatural. But the Ramban says for Am Yisrael to be without the Shekhinah among them is unnatural. And therefore, when does Geulah happen? Not when they become liberated from slavery, not when they leave geographically the bounds of Egypt, and even politically leave the hegemony of Egypt, but rather when the Shekhinah returns to them, which is why the last pasuk in Sefer Shmot, that we're going to read this Shabbat before we say Chazak, Chazak, V'nit Chazek, is that the cloud comes down and rests on the Mishkan, showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has inhabited, as it were, the Mishkan, and his Shekhinah is now among us again. Very nice. But referring to the Mishkan may be seen in a different way. That's what I'd like to suggest. We have a pasuk in the middle of Parshat Tetzaveh, towards the end of Parshat Tetzaveh. If you recall, Parshat Tetzaveh starts off, besides the two pasukim about the Shemen, with the whole detail about Bigdei Kohen Gadol and a little about Bigdei Kohenah. And then there is a whole detailed description of how the Kohanim are going to become inaugurated into their position. And then at the end of that, there's a short piece about the Korban Tamid. And Balei Kri, I always have to be careful because the words there are similar to the one that we read all the time in Rosh Chodesh that we know very well from Pinchas, but they're not exactly the same. So all the little emails that come out beforehand say, make sure not to confuse this with the one in Pinchas. Right, but it's the Korban Tamid, and that section ends with the following pasuk: "V'yadu ki ani Adonai Eloheihem asher otzeiti otam me'eretz Yitzrayim l'shochni v'tocham." When the Mishkan is properly inaugurated, everybody will know that I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim to rest among you. Which makes it sound as if the purpose of Yitzyat Mitzrayim is for Hashem's Shekhinah to be among us. Between the Mishkan really is the culmination of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Okay, but does that mean, as you suggested, that the culmination of Yetziat Mitzrayim is now we have a way to communicate with God, or now we have a way to worship God, or now we have a way for God's presence to be among us? Or is there a closer tie to the Yetziat Mitzrayim than is readily evident? The Ibn Ezra points to this right away, by the way, on this pasuk. He says, "Kasher pirashti l'cha pasuk tavdunat Elohim." Then the Ibn Ezra ties together source 4 and source 3, meaning everybody will know that I took you out of Mitzrayim to rest among you, as referenced in that first talk to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so let's see what actually may be going around, may be going on. Some of the other Mefarshim also pick up on the issue of the Mishkan waiting until the first month. And you take a look at the Lekach Tov. The Lekach Tov is a Byzantine, very, very early commentator. He lives at the same time as Rashi. And big questions whether Rashi was familiar with his work or not. And the Lekach Tov student was the Sechel Tov, these sort of quasi-midrashic commentaries on Chumash, and then he says the following. He says, "Chodesh shebo nitpaser Avraham Avinu biYitzchak." So he doesn't take the position of the Tanchuma, which is it was the day Yitzchak was born, but rather it was the time that Avram was told about Yitzchak. And it's like the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Eliezer and Beshua about Nisan versus Tishrei. V'chodesh shebo nigalu Yisrael miMitzrayim. That's easy. Chodesh shebo atitin nigael. In other words, the Mishkan should be erected on the first day of the month in which we were redeemed, and we will be redeemed. Suddenly, the Mishkan is not about Hashem Shekhinah only. It's not only about an opportunity for us to communicate, but it suddenly is about Geula. Not Geula necessarily in the Ramban sense, which is somewhat limited, but in the broader sense of we're celebrating Geula by setting up the Mishkan. So we have to see what this is, what the whole piece is about. And now, by the way, this is the famous Ramban that we're all familiar with, which is the Ramban's introduction. I'll just briefly provide a synopsis. The Ramban's introduction to Parshat Truma, in which he talks about the Mishkan, and the Ramban's position, of course, is the Mishkan was not a response to the Egel, because Yesh Muktam Mukhar BaTorah, and the Mishkan is presented before the Egel. The Mishkan was Hashem's desire to essentially make Har Sinai on the move. And he goes through all the components of the Mishkan, the Ketoret, and the Menorah, and the Esh, everything else, and associates it with the events and the experience of Har Sinai, and the fact that the purpose of the Mishkan, the focal point of the Mishkan, is the Kruvim, and between the Kruvim, Hashem is going to speak to Moshe Eit Kol Asher Tzaveh. We talked about that a few weeks ago in the Ve'et Shir. And that's the purpose of it, is to basically have Har Sinai on the move, on the roll, etc. And so you see the Mishkan now in that sense as an extension to the event, to Yitziat Mitzrayim. But there's a whole other thing going on here, which I think we have to attend to. What happened in Mitzrayim? And this is a much larger question, but remember, we're doing a Siyum on Sefer Shemot, so we got to talk about the whole thing. What happened in Mitzrayim? What did Hashem do in Mitzrayim? Hashem first sent Moshe, and what did he tell Moshe from the get-go? He said, Paro's not going to listen. He's not going to let you go. And if what am I going to do? I'm going to smack him around. I'm going to smack him around a little more, smack him around a little more until finally he comes and begs you to leave. But that's exactly what happened. But what was the nature of those smacks? What was the nature of those makot? So if I asked somebody on the street, how many makot were there in Mitzrayim, what would they answer? 10, right? Let's say that we're on Zevi Street. All right, in my street, they wouldn't know what we're talking about. But on Zevi Street, they would say, 10. I know, 10 makot. Pesach's coming up. I know how many times to dip my finger in the wine. However, in the Haggadah, how many makot are there? 40, 50, 200, 250. We play with the numbers, right? If you look in Tehillim, we did this a number of weeks ago. If you look in Tehillim, in some of the historiographic psalms, there's a presentation of Tziat Mitzrayim, and you don't have a full 10. In Ayin Chet, famously, there's 7 makot. And what's left out is Kinim and Shechin and Choshech. But in Kuf Hei, which you all know the first half of, because look at the first half of Kuf Hei. Right, you know it, but you know it a little bit, meaning you know it, but you almost know it, because this is the version in Tehillim. We say in Davening, we say the version from Divrei HaYamim Aleph Tet Zayin, which is nearly like this, but a little different. But then it continues, and it describes the makot. Take a look at which makot are described. Shalach Choshech, Dam, Tzvardeya, Arov, Barad, Arbe, and Bachor. 7 makot. What's left out? You have to like, sing the song. Like, what's left out?
Kinim.
Kinim's out. What else?
Yeah.
Right? Now, you might say Kinim's in, because if you look at Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Amar Vayavo Arov, Kinim Bachog Vulam. But the way that most Rishonim understand it is Kinim is actually a description of the Arov itself.
Dever.
Right? Dever is out, Kinim is out, and
Shechin.
And Shechin is out. Okay. So keep in mind, perhaps, what it is that this is describing. Because if you describe Yetziat Mitzrayim, and you can say this about any major event in history, even minor event in history, and you ask five people who were present in different positions to describe it, you will get five different descriptions. From the description of the average Egyptian neighbor, from the description of a little child who's a Yisrael, from the description of Paro himself, right? You're going to get a different description of what happened. Each of these parakim is describing it from a different perspective. They're all accurate, but there's different ways to look at it. Take a look at what happens right after we left Egypt. Samach Mitzrayim b'tzeitam, kenafa pachdam aleihem. They were very happy when we left. And now, paras anan lemasach. Look at that word. Hashem spread out a cloud as a masach, as a protection. The eish layer laila. And now it's describing them marching through the desert. But as they're leaving Mitzrayim, there is an anan lemasach. Okay. Now, let's take a look again at our parsha, and you'll see something, maybe, if I'm right, you'll see something a little bit new here. By the So right away, I've got the Yetziat Mitzrayim thing clicking. Interesting. I'm not really sach parochet, because lasuch means to cover, like a sukkah. I'm really putting it next to it. Why is it describing it as sakota? Because essentially, there's a protection going on. Now, ve'vetata shulchan varachta et erko. Right, so you're going to set up the shulchan. Ve'vetata menorah v'alaytat neroteha. I'd like to try the following. Here we are at Har Sinai. We have just gone through weeks in a row of an amazing existence, a really crazy existence, which starts with the Makot, culminates part one with Makat Bechorot, culminates part two with Kriyat Yam Suf, doesn't culminate, but part three is the Man and everything going along the way, and now we're at Har Sinai, right? And now at Har Sinai, we have no end of crazy things happening, amazing things happening, that culminate with the command to build the Mishkan. And here we're at the end of that road, we're actually putting it up, and here's what we're told to do. Notice the order. First, set up the Aron and put a protection and bring a table and put the bread on it, or the bread holder. What was the last thing that we did in Mitzrayim before we left?
Collected all the money?
No. That was before.
It was the last thing.
We baked the bread.
We sat in our houses. We were protected in our houses and we had a meal. What was the Makkah right before that?
The Bechor.
That was Bechor. What was the one before that?
Oh, Choshech.
Good. Light the menorah. Chase away the Choshech. All right. What was the one before that?
Arbeh.
Arbeh. What does Arbeh look like?
A cloud.
Okay, here we go. In other words, these are step-by-step responses in reverse order to the Makot. Now, again, there's a protection. By the way, what was the Makkah before Arbeh?
Arad.
Arad. Protection. All right? What happened before Barad? So Shechin's not on our list.
Dever.
And if Dever is on our list or not, we still have our rov also, which is crazy animals. That's where we're going to put a korban of an animal. And roll back. We're skipping kinim. What do you got? Tzfardea and dam, which both are permutations of the Nile. So the description of how we're supposed to set up the Mishkan is almost like rolling back Makot Mitzrayim. Now let's think about what Makot Mitzrayim themselves are. Makot Mitzrayim, in a sense, are a violation of boundaries. A violation of boundaries. First, things change from what their natural state is. Then things leave their boundaries where they should stay. That's what classically what Arov is. And then everything becomes topsy-turvy and all created things become destroyed. Which quite a number of people have pointed to as being sort of a rolling back in a micro system, meaning of Egypt, creation of the world. And so what's the Mishkan? The Mishkan is the recreation. Step by step, reconstituting the creation. And now you understand, in creation, we have the focal point of creation after everything is created is a place called Eden. And in the middle of Eden, there's a gun. And in the middle of the gun, there's a what? There's an Eitz HaChaim. And when Adam is sent out, he's sent east, which is the way you would leave the Mishkan. And he's sent away from the Eitz HaChaim. What does Hashem set up to protect the path so he can't come back in?
Two angels.
Kruvim.
Yeah.
Kruvim on top to protect them from going to Erech Eitz HaChaim. As if to say, at creation, when man fouled his nest, the first thing that happened is he's exiled from the Gan, and the imagery of the Mishkan is already laid there as an idea. And then over time, he continues to pollute until God destroys the world. And you take a look at the Mabul, and it's essentially a rollback, step-by-step of creation. And then God reconstitutes, but then when he attacks Mitzrayim, he does it in the same way, step-by-step. And instead of the creation of man, it's the death of man as the final step. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say you have a chance to do when you build the Mishkan? You have a chance to commemorate Yetziat Mitzrayim by undoing it. Not undoing it, but by reversing its impact. And so I want you to do it on the anniversary of the beginning of the process of Yetziat Mitzrayim, by Yom HaChodesh or Yishon Rachad HaChodesh. Let the Mishkan sit there from Chafei Kislev, from Adar, from whenever it's ready. Let it sit there until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Set it up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and now start rolling back what's happening. Now notice the end of this. Roll back everything that's happening, and then start with Pasuk Tet. You know what that is? That's your arrival at Har Sinai. You effectively have the potential to roll everything back from the Makot Mitzrayim, and now you come to Har Sinai, and everything becomes sanctified. That's the Shemen HaMishcha. And mashachta atakior, all the things we're talking about. And then, pasuk yod bet, v'kravta taharon v'etpanav v'patachol ha-moed v'chatzta otam b'mayim, you're going to sanctify the Kohanim. V'yobashta taharon, mashachta otam. And then, v'etpanav takri v'yobashta otam kutanot. Aaron's sons also. And essentially, all of you, because they're representing you, because after all, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us at Har Sinai? And so this description of setting up the Mishkan and the insistence on it being B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon Rachad LaChodesh is really a way of highlighting the deep significance of the Mishkan in an omniversal sense of what this gives the Am Yisrael the potential to do, to recreate the world the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended it, and to roll back all of the destructive elements that had to happen in Mitzrayim, and that man himself has brought to the world in other times. And so, Vayas Moshe, exactly, Kuchol Asher Tzivah Adonai Oto Ken Asa, and from there on, we get a description of how it happens, and with that, the Shekhinah rests on the Mishkan. And that, of course, becomes, even after the Churban, that becomes our charge, which is to constantly be creating the world and bringing the light into the world and the protection into the world, right? We ended with the bracha, chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek, and if anybody was interested, I gave it to you also in Ketav Ivri, so you could enjoy that. Anyways, mazal tovs on the siyum, and we should hear besorot tovot, and next week, Yemir Tz Hashem, we'll take a look at Parshat Zachor or Megillat Esther, or we'll see.